Good afternoon, everyone. If you're expecting an Arnie impersonation, I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disappointed this afternoon. Some of you may remember that in my last sermon I started off with an impersonation from Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's not really the submissive figure, so I couldn't quite fit him in this time. As you know, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. And we're going to be breaking this passage down into three sections. The first section is going to be verses 13 to 17. The second section is verses 18 to 20. And the final section is verses 21 to 25. And as we look at these three sections, we're going to be asking the question, who should I submit to? What does it mean to submit? And why should I submit? So first of all, beginning with who should I submit to? And the passage starts, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. This is an all-encompassing banner. Often we are quick to skip on and read the rest of the verse and the verse after. But let's take a moment to ask ourselves what every authority instituted among men might mean. Other translations will translate this, every human authority. And we shall see that this certainly applies to civil government, but it also includes all relationships between humans where there is some hierarchy or authority. And a couple of examples that I could think of were teachers and pupils, parents and children, employer and employee, married couples, in some cases siblings, a captain and the team, or the coach and the team, as the case may be, church structures, and a bit of an obscure one, even host and visitor. Sometimes when the visitor is at the place where the host are offering them hospitality, they have to submit to the care of the host, allow them to provide for them. Wherever there are people, there are relationships, and often these relationships have some sort of hierarchy. And the first phrase of verse 13 includes all of these relationships. So having looked at this all-encompassing banner, we are now ready for the next few sentences. This submitting to everyone is applied to the context of civil governments. So that is the king, or in some cases the emperor, and his representatives. So let's read on. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. In our day and age and in our society, we don't have a supreme authority. There isn't a king or emperor of Australia. We have a democratic government. But think back to Peter's day and the people that he was addressing. At that time, Nero reigned, and that was AD 54 to 68. During his reign, intense persecution broke out against Christians, and it was even during the reign of Nero that Peter was put to death. Yet in this climate, Peter says, submit yourselves to the emperor. But what about us today? Although we don't have a single supreme authority, we do have a number of governors or lower civil authorities. When I read these verses, I think of police officers as those who are sent to punish those that do wrong. I think this is quite an obvious example. So as a Christian and a good citizen, we must be submissive to the police officers, give them the honour and respect due to them. And I think by and large we do. These verses also talk about governmental authorities that reward those who do good. And it wasn't so obvious to me where we see these authorities in our society. Perhaps you've already thought of some. But let's start with the police. Last year, the Salvation Army received a certificate of merit and $15,000 for their work with parents and children who had experienced domestic violence. And this was a part of the Australian Crime and Violence prevention awards. And it's just one example. The government also awards a stack of medals nationally for acts of bravery and for community service. And our government even also has a system for awarding grants to organisations that do good for the community. So in essence, this section of verses insists that we be good citizens, submitting to our civil authorities. And so in every relationship we have with others, where there is some hierarchy, whether it is the police officer, the pastor, judge, teacher, parent or sports coach, whoever is above us, let us be submissive. Notice that this section is bookended with this idea. It starts with, submit yourselves to every human authority, and at the end it concludes with, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honour the King. And so now we come to the second section, verses 18 to 20, and asking the question, what does it mean to submit? Before we look closely at this next section, I want us to look at another part of the Bible that also answers this question. You don't need to look it up, I'll just read it out to you. It's coming from Romans 13, verse 7. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. The teaching of this verse is the basic principle of giving to those above you their dues. Give them what they are entitled to. Respect your boss as the boss. Honour your teacher as the teacher. And so on with all those above you, policemen, pastors, sports coach, parents. Give each the respect and honour that their position is entitled to. But our section and our verses go so much more than just respect and honour. We're talking about submission. Surely to submit or to be in submission is more than just respect and honour. And this section makes it clear that it is. And it also starts to answer some questions that might have come to us as we're reading the previous section. What if the authorities above us are corrupt or immoral? Or even downright dangerous to our health? What if the king is mad? What if the master is evil? What if we are being commanded to worship a false god? Surely we don't have to submit to them, right? I think we need to recognise that we have so many freedoms and we find it hard when we hear an instruction to submit. We want to make qualifications, to put boundaries around it, to contain it and to make it safe. And then we are more than happy to submit. But that's not what this passage is teaching us. This passage wants us to be submitting even when it's not safe, and we shall see that. And Peter shows us this by giving us a case study of the relationship between a master and a slave. And before we dive into looking at this case study, let me give you a bit of an overview of what slavery was like back then. Because when we think of slavery today, we often have the idea of Afro-American slavery. It was quite horrific and barbaric. But slavery at the time of Peter was something that was slightly different. Slaves in his day could be doctors or nurses, teachers or tutors, musicians and skilled artisans. Sometimes they were even paid for their services and could hope to purchase their freedom. One commentary has suggested that rather than using the term slave, we should refer to them as semi-permanent employees without legal or economic freedom. A bit of a mouthful for us this afternoon. But the point is that slavery was not necessarily the unpleasant thing that we have in mind. And also, even in this passage, we see Peter saying that and referring to some masters who were kind and considerate. And so what was Peter's command to these, to people in this situation? Peter's command was to submit yourselves. But there were also masters that were harsh, masters who would use the whip more than all the other masters, masters that would work you to the bone and feed you nothing but bread and water. What is Peter's command there? Well, submit yourselves. When you're being whipped for something you haven't done, submit yourself. Even if you're being whipped for something good that you might have done, submit yourself. But notice that Peter wasn't talking about a stoicism or a sadism. But what does Peter say? He says in verse 20, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Imagine that for a moment, doing something that is commendable before God. But notice there are two conditionals, aren't there? Number one, it must be, and this is in verse 19, it must be unjust suffering you are experiencing. You must be innocent of the crime you are being punished for. And two, it must be with the consciousness of God. All manner of people experience unjust suffering. Some are able to even bear up under it. But this is only commendable before God if it is done with the consciousness of God. But what does this mean? This conscious of God means being mindful of Him, enduring unjust suffering patiently because of Him. Peter is instructing the Christian to trust God. It is because of a Christian faith and confidence in God that enables them to submit to an unjust master without resentment, rebelliousness, self-pity, or despair. Now you might ask, where does the Christian base this hope or faith or confidence in or on? Well, that brings us to the last section, verses 21 to 25. These verses answers the question, why should I submit? And this section is a montage of Isaiah 53. Peter has borrowed the material from the Old Testament. He's cut, cropped, edited, and pasted it all together. So let's have a look. Put one finger in 1 Peter 2 there. And flip over to Isaiah 53. We're going to do a bit of Bible gymnastics. So verse 22, have a look at verse 22 in 1 Peter 2. And it's a direct quote from Isaiah 53. The New Testament has translated sin instead of violence, but other than that, it is a direct quote from Isaiah 53:9. So have a look there, you can see it. Also have a look at verse 23 in 1 Peter 2. We see Jesus there, as Peter's describing, not retaliating and making no threats despite their insults and oppression. And compare that to Isaiah 53:7. Have a look at Isaiah 53:7. And we see there a lamb who is led to the slaughter and before its tormentors is silent, not opening its mouth. Next, have a look at verse 24 in 1 Peter 2. We see the phrase there, he himself bore our sins. And now look at Isaiah 53, verses 4, 6, 11, 12. Let me read them out to you, the key idea. Verse 4, he took up our infirmities. Verse 6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 11, he will bear their iniquities. Verse 12, he bore the sin of many. And also from verse 24 in 1 Peter 2, we see by his wounds you were healed. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says just that, by his wounds we are healed. And the final one I've got for you this afternoon is verse 25. You were like sheep going astray. In Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. So what's the purpose of that? We see in Isaiah 53, this suffering servant, and then we see in 1 Peter 2, Peter bringing all these references to remind us of this suffering servant. We see a perfect man, this is Jesus, who committed no sin and done no deceit, and who was completely innocent. He was made to suffer, he was despised and rejected, he was smitten and afflicted, pierced and crushed, and assigned a grave with the wicked. Was there any more unjust suffering? Occasionally, we might be beaten for something we didn't do. Well, actually, probably not really. But we might be punished or penalised for something that we didn't do. But what about the wrong that we do and do deserve to be punished or penalised for, but aren't? What about the times when we do great wrong that really deserves a beating, but we get away with it? None of us are guilt-free. But here was a righteous man, a man who had done no wrong, and he was punished for all of our wrongdoing. Philippians 2, 6 to 8 sums up the situation quite well. Let me read the words to you. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself to death. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Peter makes it clear that we are to do likewise. So read verse 21 in Peter. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Does this mean that we take on the sins of the world and nail ourselves to a tree? No, obviously not. So what do we do? Well, we follow the pattern of Christ. Before, when I read from Philippians, just before those verses I read out loud, the passage says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus was in very nature God. He humbled himself and became man, humbled himself to death, even death on the cross, for our sakes. And we can do likewise. Rather than using our rights as a citizen or employee for our own ends, we should be willing to give them up for the sake of others. Rather than demanding our rights or even perhaps campaigning for more rights, we can use what we already have for the good of others. And what might this look like in our church or our workplace? Well, there are times when we can give up our rights for the sake of others. But perhaps it's a little easier and clearer to think of using our freedoms rather than rights. Perhaps it applies more to us to give up our freedom for the sake of others. And glance back to verse 16. There Peter says, use your freedom not as a cover-up for evil, but live as servants of God. And so by way of conclusion for this afternoon, I have three therefores and one thereby. Number one. Submit yourself. Therefore, when you are driving down the road and the lane next to you is running out and a car is trying to merge in, submit yourself, give up your right to maintain your speed and continue on your current course, and be gracious and let them in. Number two, submit yourself, therefore, when serving on the church roster is the last thing that you really want to do, and you're feeling perhaps that you've been given more turns on the roster than you're entitled to, submit yourself. Give up your freedom or your rights, knowing that God sees all and knows all and has already given you so much. Serve with a joyful heart and the same attitude as Christ. Number three, submit yourself. Therefore, when you're at work and things are stressful and the boss is throwing his weight around, don't demand your right to a full lunch break, but be willing to give up your right or your freedom and use it to serve others, even when you feel like they don't deserve it. After all, Christ didn't deserve to die on a cross, but he did that so that you might not get what you deserve, and that's punishment for your sins, eternity in hell. And finally, the thereby. Submit yourself, thereby silencing the ignorant talk of foolish men. But not only that, by enacting out the gospel message, by following the example of Christ, you make the gospel message attractive to those who don't yet believe. So in conclusion, wherever you are, whoever you're dealing with, whatever the context, submit yourself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that even though you're in very nature God, that you gave up your place and came down to earth, taking on the nature of a human. Lord, I thank you that you endured the cross that was set before you, that you suffered for our sakes. Lord, that you didn't retaliate, you didn't fight back, but you allowed yourself to be sacrificed. And that sacrifice was for our sins. Lord, thank you for this beautiful message that you have died for us, that we might not be punished and that we might not get what we do deserve. Lord, I pray that you'd be helping us to be following your example. Lord, help us to be submitting, even when we don't feel like it or when it's hard. Lord, I pray that as we do this, others may see and want to know the gospel message. In your name, amen.